Are you struggling with fear, depression, or anxiety? Are you in search of meaning and purpose? Would you like help navigating your current life circumstances? Tarot can help. Tarot is a powerful tool for healing, introspection, and spiritual awakening. The Esoteric Toolkit is a synthesis of ancient wisdom and modern science. It consists of tarot, numerology, astrology, and the Hermetic principles in conjunction with the modern science of consciousness. The revelation and application of this knowledge gives you the tools you need to help master your life, organize your mind, and overcome depression, fear, and anxiety. Learn to manifest your dreams and come into alignment with your highest self and the universe. Book your private one-on-one tarot reading today. Click the link in the description or go to www.theorderofchaosmagic.com. You can also find monthly tarot packages, a private Discord community featuring shadow work, and Mercury retrograde support groups, and much more by becoming a patron at patreon.com/theorderofchaos.
Welcome back to the Order of Chaos podcast. Today I have my good friend and longtime friend of the show, Black Witch Dyra, on, and we are going to be discussing a number of things. Firstly, the mystery school that I've just launched, in which Dyra is an instructor. And secondly, we will be discussing Balenciaga and everything around that. And then lastly, we're going to talk about addiction and the left-hand path. So stay tuned. This is going to be a great episode. Dyra, good to see you.
Yeah, you too. Thanks so much for having me on again.
Yeah, anytime. I love having you on. So you will be teaching a course on hexes in the mystery school that we've just launched. So if you don't mind, real quick, let's tell people a little bit about that.
Okay, awesome. So I wanted to cover in when teaching about hexing and cursing, like a multitude of things, really. Like, I feel like people, when they're approaching baneful magic, they are very concerned for their safety, first of all. I think, especially with beginners, it's quite a daunting thing to step into. So I wanted to sort of begin with, you know, how do you do baneful magic safely? I think people also have a lot of questions about the moral stance of it as well, you know, whether it is an ethical thing to do, and you know, that is very much based on one's opinion rather than there being a factual thing about that. Like, it, your morals are your morals at the end of the day. I wanted to also talk about like misconceptions and myths, because it's a very common misconception about the way that people view things like karma and the Wiccan threefold law. I hear a lot about that, and just understanding that what that stuff actually means and how it applies. And then getting onto the more practical stuff. So, you know, I want to go into herb correspondences, ingredients, tools, and, you know, show you how to make a cursing jar, dressing candles, doing spells, how to use sigils in your baneful magic, and using poppets and dolls. Also, the more kind of advanced stuff, like using a cemetery. I want to show you how to make a cursing oil. I love making oils in general, but especially like cursing oils for baneful magic. Because you can get so fucking nasty with it and gross, and it's just great. Then I want to go into involving demons in your baneful magic and what demons are great to work with when, you know, to achieve specific outcomes, whether that's working on breakup spells, separation, or some kind of destruction, like whatever you're trying to achieve, like what daemon is really good to work with that. And I also wanted to go into energy vampirism as well a little bit, because I think there's a lot to be said for using energy vampirism to weaken your target. Like, I personally, I like to, for my own personal vendettas, I don't do this so much with clients, I don't have the fucking time, but with my own personal vendettas, I might actually spend a month before actually doing the real curse work of doing energy vampirism on this person, in order to kind of get them ready to fully receive this shit that I'm... God, I must sound fucking insane, but I promise you I don't just do this shit willy-nilly. It takes the life out of me, and I will only do it if someone's really fucked me off, so or, you know, is genuinely trying to hurt me. But you know, like I said, it's about your own moral stance. It doesn't, you know, that shit doesn't essentially matter, but that is just me. And yeah, that's kind of what I want to cover, really. So just slowly kind of easing into it, like, because I think it's important to cover people's like fears and worries about things like this. And then, yeah, get into the more juicy stuff.
That sounds fucking awesome. I can't wait, because, you know, the reason that I asked you and our friends, Marissa and Lucas, to teach these courses is that these are areas in which you guys have more expertise than I do. I'm great with a lot of things. I'm very, very proud of the school that I've put together, but I know that there are certain things in which I'm not the right person to teach it. And I can't wait to even take your course. Like, I can't wait. Hexes are not my specialty. I understand the underlying theory of them well enough to understand their place within my own magical practice and a way to, you know, explain it to others. But I can't wait for the in-depth stuff that you're going to get into. Because it's an area in which I've been very reluctant. You know, I've never hexed anybody. I use very powerful and nasty protection spells. In fact, Marissa and I are having to find that we have to tone one down a little bit, because I designed it to be like a German Shepherd. If you invade our space, you're going to get fucked up. Mm-hmm. But so again, like, this is an area where I just don't have like the level of expertise that you do. So I'm really, really excited that you're going to be teaching this class, and I can't wait for it. Awesome. So let's get into this Balenciaga shit, because fuck.
Yeah. I mean, as I was saying before we started, I did a video on it today, and where I was like picking apart people's two pence on it, and oh my God, it's amazing, the reaching. I think it's actually really amusing to me, just like how they go from like how they jump to this conclusion that like if something's evil, then it, you know, it's obviously satanic, and how they use evil and satanic as adjectives to describe the same thing as if they have the same meaning.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, okay, now I just want to start off by saying you and I both firmly believe that Balenciaga has done something fucking disgusting, and that this is unacceptable, and fuck these people. And I hope, I'm not going to say what I hope for them, all right? But I'm a father, and what I hope for anybody who hurts children is a very nasty and swift end. I don't hope they go to prison. I think something much worse should happen to them. But it is, as you're saying, it's also just the connection that all of these people are making, saying, oh, it's the occult, it's Satanism, it's this, it's that. It's like, no, it's not those things. It is what it is, which is harming children and the P word that we can't say on YouTube. And, you know, it's sexualizing and harming children, which, you know, to me is the most severe crime that exists. But keep it away from our religious beliefs, please, because as everybody with two brain cells knows, the Catholic Church has committed more atrocities than, and I'm talking about the deliberate covering up of harming children for hundreds of years. So it's not a religious issue. Okay. It is what it is. These people are evil, but let's not associate evil with a particular religion. Duh.
Yeah, exactly. And it's funny you say about the P word because I actually accidentally mentioned it in my YouTube video, so I'm gonna have to dub that out quickly before I post it. But
Yeah.
I'll probably have to dub a few things out actually. But yeah, it's because if I was to defend my point and say, okay, you're saying that the P word and Satanism are linked, but I was to say it about the Catholic Church, then the Christians would say, but they're not real Christians. And I'm like, yeah, exactly. It's the same thing applies here because there's nothing in our literature that condones this. In fact, it's the opposite.
Yeah, the Satanic Bible, just in case anyone's wondering, specifically says not to harm children, that this is unacceptable, right? Which is
Literally.
not in the Bible anywhere, because children are
Yeah.
getting harmed all the time. Fucking Yahweh has why am I drawing a blank on the name all of a sudden? Abraham mutilate one of his children and kill the other. Come on.
Yeah.
I just can't. It's upsetting because even creators who I look up to and watch are doing this. It's a cult. It's Satanism. And sorry, I know I'm ranting, but I'm pissed. Okay. It's the same as it's racism. It's just you can't group people together and say that this group is bad. Can we not learn that lesson as a species yet?
Exactly. And with I know in this country in particular, we have an issue with or we have had issues with Islamic extremism. We've had a number of terrorist attacks, as has the US at times as well. But we all acknowledge that Islamophobia is not acceptable. It is a hate crime. And we all acknowledge that no true, authentic Muslim commits these atrocities and that it is not linked to authentic Islam whatsoever. So why is it just because that I almost like I don't I hate like playing the victim. It gives me the ick, but I do almost feel like we are the as people on the left-hand path, we are kind of victimized in a sense to it's perfectly acceptable to be hateful towards us because we're considered sadistic and evil when we are just very misunderstood. And anyone that knows us in our lives and knows us personally knows that that is not our true that is not our nature. But we are so heavily stigmatized, but it's acceptable because we're not a pop we're not a popular religion or belief system or spirituality to follow. So it's fine. It's not, that it's fine to be hateful towards us because who cares, basically.
Well, I actually think that some of these creators might get in trouble. I don't know, because one of the things about most left-hand path practices, I mean almost all of them across the board, is that we do not have a single governmentally recognized organized religion. But the Temple of Satan is a governmentally recognized organized religion. And now don't get me wrong, I don't actually personally agree with everything about the Temple of Satan. But I think they're a fine organization. I'm interested in talking to people from the I know people in the organization. It's just I'm not part of it. I was more when I was a card-carrying member of the Church of Satan, it was the Levian Church, right? But you cannot just go around saying things about this about religious groups, untrue things. And it's crazy to me seeing so many creators who have made that exact point themselves when it comes to Islamophobia or anti-Semitism, then just turn around and say Satanists and associating us with the worst possible crime that exists. And as a father of a 6-year-old boy, fuck you to the people who are associating occultism with such an awful, terrible thing. And also, just to the people who are involved in doing it, I just want you to know that I hope you rot and die. And I can't, I'm not even going to start. Okay. But it is unthinkable to me to harm children, and it is wrong in every way. And there is nothing that I've ever encountered in any legitimate occult text that justifies or glorifies or endorses it in any way whatsoever. Just fuck off with that shit. And I don't want it associated with occultism, because I think occultism is really good for people. And that's why I've started this school, because learning the occult sciences, astrology, tarot, numerology, manifestation, and magic have improved my life and made me a better person in immeasurable ways. And I want other people to experience that. And it has absolutely nothing to do with being a shit person or harming anybody.
Definitely. And it can be quite hurtful, actually, when people hear that I'm a witch, and they think that my inherent intention is to curse them. And I just think, like, why would you think that? Because that's basically the equivalent of me holding a knife and thinking that I'm gonna stab you. It's the equivalent of, you know, you think that I'm utilizing something for evil, which isn't the case. I use that analogy from someone. Someone made a really good point about how, because I've made a lot of videos on TikTok basically defending my belief system when it comes to it being associated with this whole Balenciaga thing. And and someone said, you can wield a knife, but are you going to harm someone with it? And that basically what they were saying, because someone's point was, but they do use Satanism to for evil. And it's like, you can use a lot of things for evil. You can use anything almost for evil. You can use your car to run someone over, but that's not what your car has been made for. It's like, I don't understand the logic, because you wouldn't, there's a lot of things that can be used for evil, but that doesn't mean you automatically associate it with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, like, to go back to our last video together about that fucking psycho EA Coetting. You know, people like that exist within the occult community. They do. And what happens when we find out about them? We say, fuck you, get lost. Right. Oh. And people like this exist in every religion and in every area of life. There are fucking evil people everywhere, but they aren't one group of organized supervillains that has a particular religion. Come on. You know, and if there is an example of that, it is the church. Sorry, not sorry. If there's an example of an organized religion performing evil things throughout history, it's Christians and the Catholic Church. Because let's not forget the Crusades or the genocide of Native peoples here in Canada, in the US, in the UK, where you are. It's happened globally. The cover-up of child molestation by priests. Like, everyone just seems to forget this stuff when they hear the word Satanism. Because of TV. It's completely because of TV, because of the Satanic Panic and the new Satanic Panic that's happening right now. It's happening again. Mm. It's ridiculous. Have we not learned this lesson yet?
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. And it's funny because in my YouTube video earlier, I said, I was saying I've never read a single occult book that references this kind of thing. I'm going to correct myself. I have, but that was by E.A. Coetting.
Right.
So it's like, you know, if you look for it hard enough, you might find it, but it doesn't mean that it's a genuine, reliable source, okay? Because it was written by someone who has absolutely lost their mind. And the section of this book that I read was basically condoning human sacrifice and referencing the serial killer Ian Brady. And that's when you're kind of like, yeah, this ain't what I'm about. This ain't what occultism is about. You know, this is not anything related to my spiritual belief system. And you put the fucking book down. So, and you know, what you said about, you know, you're talking about like the Church of Satan, and you know, there are obviously extremist organizations, the Order of Nine Angles, where they basically use Satanism or, you know, the devil to condone their very disturbing right-wing extremist views, along with the Temple of Blood. So, you know, we're not denying that this exists. But you know, we're not, at the same time, we're not just gonna sit here and be like, you know, stay silent while you're all kind of accusing us of being, like you said, this group of supervillains who all think the same thing, because we don't. We're, you know, we're a very autonomous group of people. We all have, you know, I'm sure even you and I have different takes on certain things. We're very autonomous in our practice and in our beliefs. So to group us all together like that, you don't know what you're talking about.
No, it's ignorant. And, you know, the thing that in my experience with the left-hand path, right, which is radically different from yours and radically different from other friends of ours, because that's the great thing about the left-hand path, is that it is intensely focused on individuality. The vast majority of us are solitary practitioners. Even those of us in, you know, in our little group and the people teaching in the course, we're friends and we share ideas, but we're not a coven. We don't have a unified belief system. You and Marissa are both Luciferian, and Lucas and I are both chaos magicians. We're, you know, very different, but this is the wonderful thing about not being a, you know, about kind of, in my opinion, at least, ascending to a higher level of consciousness and to of understanding, is understanding that the world needs opposing forces to function correctly. People have to disagree. If everyone agreed about everything, no matter which direction it went, it would be a fucking disaster. Right. And the left-hand path recognizes that. We're not trying to unify the world under a particular belief system. That could never work. It could never work. The world needs opposing ideas, and we need to be able to share those opposing ideas in a civil and respectful way.
And I hear a lot about people, like when they turn this whole, the world has this secret satanic agenda, and they're trying to rewire you, they're trying to brainwash you, they're trying to convert you. No, we're not. Like, I'm sorry, but like, I have absolutely no intention of involving anyone in my shit, because I want, like, this is so sacred to me. I give out very little info about it to the immediate people around me who aren't occultists. I don't really discuss occultism unless I'm asked. I have absolutely no interest in converting anyone to my beliefs or unifying anyone. We don't give a fuck about that. We don't. Like, we are not, we, unlike Christianity, we don't feel like our God or gods have given us a duty to spread his, her message, and create new servants of the Lord. That is not what we are about. And this whole thing, I get a lot of the comments I get are like, you need to wake up, you're in denial. Actually, I am very capable of seeing both sides of an argument, and that is very necessary for a debate. You have to create room for opposition. Otherwise, it doesn't work. If everyone thinks the same, like you said, there is a need for opposition. Like, and if you are someone who is open to a debate and wants to get their point of view across, you have to make room for opposition. And for you to say you're not woke or you need to open your mind, yet you are so closed off to any other point of view that isn't your own, how woke are you, really?
Yeah. Yes, I completely agree. I completely fucking agree. And, You know, I generally don't like to talk politics a lot on this show, but, you know, I'm a fairly diehard centrist. You could not classify me left or right. I have some views that are a little bit conservative. I have some views that are quite liberal. Okay, I'm that guy that, you remember that meme? Was it? I think that gay married couples should be allowed to protect their marijuana plants with guns. That's me. That's how I feel. Okay. But when it comes to the sexualization of children in any way, I think that there should be an immediate death penalty. That's just what I think. Immediate death penalty. Just get rid of these people. Get them off this planet immediately. And if we could in any way prevent them from reincarnating through the astral, let's do that too. Let's get them the fuck out of here forever. And you know, that's how I feel, but you know, I can't believe that this is an argument, right? Because again, as a father, and I just want to, you know, make this clear how I feel about things. Actually, you know, fuck that. I'm going to edit that out. I'm not going to get into it. But anyways, my point is, you know, I'm not on the right. I'm not on the left. This isn't a political issue. Harming children is wrong, period. Mm-hmm. That's all it is, right? And what I believe is that if, because the conservatives, you know, in America, in Canada, in the UK, need to stop leaning on Christianity as if it's this moral stance of superiority, because it absolutely is not. You know, and in the same way, I feel like the left and progressives need to stop leaning on communism as if it's this wonderful, beautiful thing. Because if you look into the history of both Christianity or communism, which are the extremes that the right and left lean on, saying this is correct, they're both responsible for more human suffering and atrocity than any other systems that have ever existed.
I relate so hard because I consider myself dead center as well. I have beliefs that probably fall more right and beliefs that probably fall more left. And I think, do you know what? I think this is probably like a left-hand path occultist thing, because I think because you can't really fit us into a box and we kind of deny anything that's very dualistic, I think it's very fitting that we're sort of like quite confused about our political stance. And also because I think when we're more focused on our own sort of consciousness, we kind of just block some of it out. I mean, I know I do anyway, like, I don't involve myself too much in politics. I always feel really confused when it comes to voting, because I just think, like, you know, right now we're under a conservative government and it's a shit show. But then I think, well, if I am to vote for Labour, which is like the left, it's not going to be any fucking better. So I'm just sort of sitting there like, you know.
Well, here in Canada, we are under a far left progressive government, and it is a fucking shit show. Yeah. It's exactly the same. And this is, listen, people, okay? When you have diametrically opposing forces, guess what? They're both pointing to the middle. And that's where we need to strive to be as a society. You're not going to convince everyone. Just like you were saying, I have no interest in convincing anybody of my belief systems. That's why I don't proselytize. I had two lovely young Christian women knock on my door yesterday, and they wanted to talk about Jesus. And I politely said, I'm sorry, I'm pagan, and I know quite a bit about Christianity already, and you know, have a wonderful day. It's fine. Merry Christmas. You know, but we don't do that, even in a polite way. That's why you have to pay to go to this school, right? Because we want people who are genuinely, truly interested and invested. We're not trying to convince you of anything. We're not trying to grow into some fucking cult or some shit. We're offering education, and you know, it's got value attached to it. And it's simple as that, right? And that's another reason. I just want to get into this for a second. Sorry, here's a little side rant, okay? Because I'm on Facebook, and I constantly see people saying the dumbest shit, like anybody who charges for tarot readings or spiritual advice is a fraud and a scam. No, the ones who are offering to do it for free are a fraud and a scam, because they're trying to convince you of something. They are trying. What's their motivation? You really think that they're pure beings of enlightenment? No, they're not. They're egotistical, and they want to force their beliefs on you or tell you the dumbest shit, like, What's the one people get in their Instagram messages all the time? It's like,
oh, Grand Rising.
Grand Rising, yeah. The ancestors told me they have a message for you. Get fucked. Get out of here. Like,
know how many of my like friends in real life have had that message from like a fake account? That, like, you didn't send me this. And you're like, of course I fucking didn't. Like,
yeah, it's ridiculous. It's fucking like, ridiculous.
I will give free readings to friends all the time. Yeah, I mean, sure. Sometimes I get a bit resentful about it and I'm like, fucking hell, really? Like, who do you think I am? But like, genuinely, most of the time, if someone says to me, do you have time to do me a quick reading? I will do it. But the reason I am charging for my services is because, firstly, it took me, I've taken time and energy out of my life to develop my skills, to learn about my craft and educate myself.
These are not free.
Yeah.
They cost money.
Beautiful deck, by the way. And like, you know, you're paying for a service. Like, you pay for people's expertise all the time in life because they have something that you don't have. You're paying for something for someone to do something for you that you can't do for yourself. So, and it takes a fucking energy exchange, you know? That shit ain't free.
Yeah. And you know what? To quote the Joker, if you're good at something, never do it for free. I'm not a socialist. I'm not a communist. I am a capitalist. I don't appreciate the state of hyper-inflated radical capitalism that is the United States of America. I'm not endorsing that. Clearly, it's done terrible things for the world. But again, if you're good at something, never do it for free.
If I can choose between capitalism and communism, I choose capitalism.
Absolutely. Yes. I agree. Now, I don't get me wrong. I believe that you in the UK have the same socialized healthcare system that we have here in Canada, right? Do you pay to go to the doctor? Right. So, and I think that's a wonderful, beautiful thing.
I have to pay for medication, but
Me too.
Yeah, but you know, if I want to go see a doctor, that is free, and that is a fucking blessing.
Right. So there are, again, there are areas on the left that has it right, and there are areas on the right that has it right, and it's this just pointing towards the middle that we should be striving for. Healthcare, I do believe it should be made as inexpensive as humanly possible because it is a basic human need, just like food and water should be made as inexpensive as humanly possible. But you cannot force everyone into this same sort of everyone is equal outcome kind of nonsense, because you cannot have equal outcome without equal effort. And it's just a fact that people do not put in the same effort. There are people out there who don't do shit with their lives, who, you know, watch TV all goddamn day and expect that they should be given everything for free. And no, you shouldn't. Fuck off. You have to work. You have to work. You have to try. You have to strive to achieve. And, you know, what you achieve is up to you. I strongly believe that we should have equal opportunity to achieve, which we do not currently have. We don't. It's true. It's unequal. And we need to address that in a major way. But the answer is not the extreme opposite.
Yeah, 100% with you on that. And I was going to say something and now it's just completely gone. So like, if everyone, you know, if we take communism, it kind of implies that everyone has the same work ethic and the same morals, which
they don't.
Humanly impossible. So we are very diverse in that matter. We are not all clones of each other, which I feel like is what communism kind of can imply.
Yeah, and you know, I think the ultimate truth, right, in my opinion, I'm about to like give away sort of the end of one of the last classes. If you sign up for my course, you know, whatever, fuck it, is, you know, you have to depolarize yourself in order to hold great magical power. In my opinion, you cannot have radical beliefs one side or the other. I mean, you can, it can give you a certain type of magical power in the chaos magic sense, but being balanced, being depolarized, and understanding the need for opposition is a higher level of understanding, in my opinion. You know, the ability to see both sides of an argument You know, that's earlier on, you said maybe we're confused. I don't think we're confused. I think we're very clear on what we believe. I think when you're under the spell of an ideology, that's when you're confused. When you defend a point of view that you don't fully understand, that's when you're confused. When you're just saying, because the Bible says so, or because these are my political beliefs and this is my ideology, right? Without any ability to back it up with a rational, reasonable argument that doesn't include yelling or buzzwords or, you know, like circular nonsense.
Yeah, there's quite an irony there, actually, because when I said earlier, like, you know, I think we're quite confused, actually, it's the opposite. Like, the only reason I'm saying that, like, oh, you know, I think we find it confusing is because, you know, we're not strongly identifying with a singular ideology, but actually we're not confused because it's like that depolarization. But but when someone is so focused on, like, the Bible, for example, and so radically motivated by that, they don't think they're confused. They, you know, there's the enemy of wisdom is thinking that you have wisdom.
That's right.
So, you know, thinking that you are wise just kind of shows an absence of wisdom. So I'm very careful. Like, whenever I think, oh, you know, I'm feeling pretty wise, I'm feeling like I've got quite a bit of wisdom, I sort of stop myself and think, you know what? I know nothing.
Yeah. And that's what, if you talk to any Zen master, ultimately, that's the ultimate teaching of Zen is I don't know. Fuck all. I don't know shit about it. I don't know, man. I don't know. Right. That's the beginning of wisdom is the phrase, I do not know. Right. And it's when you think you know, and that you're now it's hubris. We don't know fucking anything. Okay, we don't know what we are. We don't know what the universe is. We don't know what space is. We don't know what time is. We don't know jack shit. We are very smart, and we have come to scientific conclusions that make sense and allow us to describe the world around us with remarkable accuracy. But it is hubris to believe that it is the objective ultimate truth, because any real scientific mind will tell you there's so much that we don't know. You know, I mean, obviously, and the entire process of science and science is a process, not a belief system, is to constantly discover that you were wrong and that there's more to know. Oh, we were wrong about that. I mean, that is the history of science as a whole, is we were wrong about that. Here's what we think now. Okay, we were wrong about that. Here's what we think now. And we grow in understanding in that way. But you have to understand that that process never ends.
Yeah. Constantly reevaluating a theory, debunking it. That's why it's called a theory, because we acknowledge that we don't actually know. You know, it might not be just a theory.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's a beautiful thing. And that's why, you know, when we're talking about mystery school, we're studying the mysteries and attempting to explain them in a way that makes us more powerful, more understanding, more compassionate, more empathetic, more intelligent, more, just more. It makes us more to learn, but it is hubris to think that this is the one true truth. You know, I think the word mystery is beautiful for exactly that reason, because it reminds us that we don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, now we've gone kind of way off on a tangent here, which I love. It's what we do on this show. But I do want to get back to Balenciaga for a moment, because I just want to reemphasize that fuck these people. They have nothing to do with occultism, in my opinion. They have nothing to do with me, with my friends, with the community that I'm a part of, with the beauty of occultism and of mystery. Fuck off, right? And as far as these celebrity motherfuckers go, and this, okay, let's address this whole celebrities in the Illuminati thing also. Like, come on, people. Of course, there is some truth to it. There are celebrities who are disgusting, terrible people, and Hollywood is a cult, in my opinion. And there's a tremendous amount of evidence for that. But if you believe that they're lizard people who rule the world, like, I don't know. You know, I'm not trying to harm you. Just maybe that's not the best belief system. Maybe it's extreme. Maybe it's radical. Maybe you should tone it back a little bit. That's just my opinion. I can't stand David Icke and the whole lizard people argument. And I'm not saying it's not true. I'm just saying, like, it's again lumping these people into a group of supervillains and saying they're reptilian aliens who rule the world, and they're all Satanists, and you know. I just can't with this shit. I'm so over it. And I want to address this and debunk it because it pisses me the fuck off, right? Because I have nothing to do with any of that. It has nothing to do with my kind of occultism. It's just all wacky. And I feel like the world is losing its mind, right? But that being said, Kim Kardashian taking 6 days or whatever it was to disassociate with Balenciaga and her child wearing that bondage mask. Like, what the fuck? Yeah. What the fuck is that?
Yeah.
Let's not even get started about Kanye. Jesus yeah. Christ.
I mean, I feel like I'm not even shocked anymore by the actions of these celebrities. It's just like, I'll read it and yeah, I'll feel disgusted or I feel angered, but I don't feel surprised anymore. And you know, like you said, Hollywood, very much a cult vibe going on there, but do I think it's satanic? No. And what you said about celebrities being involved in the occult, I've had a celebrity, someone on the TV over here in the UK, you know, no one like crazy famous, but someone who is a daytime TV presenter, contacted me and asked me for my assistance, you know, for spell work, for success, further success in their career. And I have a mentor who is a very skilled witch of decades and decades of experience. And she has worked with, you know, famous people, politicians and stuff like that. So, you know, these guys do seek out spiritual help in the occult, but that doesn't mean they're using it for anything evil or bad. You know, they're using it like the rest of us to try and bring about an outcome just because they are seeking this out. It doesn't mean it's for some kind of evil purpose. And it also means that they haven't sold their fucking soul for their success. I fucking hate that. This whole thing. Yep. Look at Beyonce's eyes. She's obviously sold her soul. And Billie Eilish and fucking all the, you know, these rappers and everything. Like, look at their eyes. They've obviously sold their soul for their fame. Like, no, the fuck they haven't. Okay. Because you don't have to do that. You don't have to fucking do that to get where you want to be.
Yeah. No, you don't. One of my clients, I'm not going to say who, obviously. And again, not someone super uber famous, but one of my clients was actually in Harry Potter and is in a Netflix streaming show. And you know what? He's like a wonderful, wonderful person. He has nothing to do with any of this nonsense, right? He's a wonderful person. And you know, it doesn't matter, right? Like but there is a disconnect there, because there is like a true, in my opinion, this is, and I don't have a shit ton of evidence that everyone else hasn't seen, but like Hollywood is gross. It's fucking gross. There are some people in that area that are, you know, a group of friends who are doing terrible things. And I think that this Balenciaga shit is exposing some of that. And I hope it is all exposed. I mean, that's what I really want for this age that we're in, right? Let's get the fucking Epsteins and the Balenciagas and the whatever else the fuck out of this dimension. That's what I want, right? And, you know, to go back to the mystery school for a moment, there are 5 degrees of initiation within the school. Currently, only the first two are available to the public. And those of us who are teachers, myself included, are not fifth degree. And I put us at fourth. Because to me, the fifth degree, the ultimate goal is conscious astral projection at will, which is extremely difficult to achieve. That on top of the, you know, a vast array of occult knowledge of which we're teaching, right? So all of that, plus the ability to be very accurate with divination and manifestation, right, which we all have. But on top of that, the goal is conscious astral projection at will. And through that ability, I would hope, and my goal would then be to have some kind of ability to block these people from reincarnating here on our world again, to expel them from the astral plane into some other fucking area of the universe. Just get the fuck out of here. I don't know if that's possible. I believe it is. I believe that something like that can be achieved through magic. But I'm not going to claim I'm that powerful at this current stage, but that's my goal.
Yeah, I mean, that's a dream, right?
Okay, so moving on to the third topic of our talk today. And I know that this initially was going to be the main theme of the show, but this Balenciaga shit happened, and I feel like we needed to talk about it. But I do want to move on now to your story of addiction and of how that's affected you and how how it is intermixed with your experience of occultism.
Yeah, so I don't really even know where to start with it, to be honest. But so just like I suppose I'll just go into like a little bit about me. So I've very much grown up in addiction for most of my life. Like both of my parents have been addicts. I grew up around addiction, and addictive patterns started to manifest within me at a very young age, probably around like the age of 12. I didn't actually pick up illicit substances until I was around 14. But it's definitely been an on and off issue for me throughout my entire life. And when I say addiction, I'm not just talking about drug addiction, although that is the thing that kind of brought me to my knees 13 months ago. But also, addiction manifests in a lot of different ways. It can manifest in our relationships when we form these like codependent bonds to people. And, you know, for me, it's manifested as an eating disorder. It's manifested as addiction to work, and, you know, anything that basically changes the chemicals in my brain and gives me this kind of like dopamine hit, I can get really obsessed with it. And I will keep pushing that dopamine button until it effectively ruins my life. But how this kind of ties into my journey into occultism, like when I first got into occultism, I was clean and sober. I had been abstaining from substances for a substantial period of time, and that was my life. And it I do you know what I think that I'm really happy that I was clean and sober at the time, so that I could remain very level-headed when entering this left-hand path journey, because as we know, this is not for people who are really fucking unstable. Anyway, I first started my left-hand path journey clean and sober, but then kind of 2.5 years into it, some, you know, life happened, shit hit the fan. And we were actually in like the midst of a COVID lockdown as well, which, you know, didn't help my head. So I decided to cope with this through, you know, the use of drugs and alcohol. And I just want to insert this here. Like, if you are a drug user, this is not me demonizing drug use, because I know that drug use is okay for some people. You know, drinking is okay for some people, like, but, you know, and then there's people like me who cannot put a fucking thing down once they pick it up. And, you know, I believe that there are just some people in the world that can't pick this stuff up. There are people who have a substantial period of clean time and then start using drugs again, and they somehow manage to do it in a stable, moderately healthy way. That's just not my story, and but I acknowledge that there are people in the world that that is true for. So anyway, life happened, and I decided I needed this external thing to cope. And I remember being a little bit jittery about it, because I was kind of like, you know, I've not touched drugs for multiple years, and I don't, it feels dangerous, and I don't know how it's going to affect my life. But I was gonna do it anyway, regardless of the consequences. Like, I didn't really give a fuck, but I was kind of sort of like, am I about to ruin my life? Am I gonna die? So I did a tarot reading on it, and the tower came out, and I was like, okay, so this is clearly like some shit is gonna go down through this. I think I doubted the severity of it at the time. I thought it was going to be a shorter period of time from which I would be suffering with this. And I massively underestimated it. But it also said in my tarot reading, and I did this tarot reading specifically with Astaroth at the time, who was, the first demon I ever worked with, and I have a very strong relationship with, and she's always been sort of like a matron and a guide for me. So I did the reading with her. She was like, you'll come out of this okay, but what you are doing right now is really fucking stupid and reckless. So, and it was, and by 3 weeks after me picking drugs up again, I was suicidal, and my therapist was saying, you need to go to rehab. So, which is why I believe I cannot use drugs safely, because moderation is not a thing for me. It doesn't compute in my brain. It's just not how my brain is wired. I don't know if that's because of my upbringing. I don't know if it's a nature thing, and I've inherited it. Like, I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. All I know is that it's not safe for me to do that. And I believe that addiction is a progressive illness, and that it will get worse if it's not treated. So I spiraled, and it started to kind of affect my work and my practice. Like, if I am on drugs for 3 days straight, and then a client's paid me to do a ritual, like, it's not really gonna work. Like, because I'll have the most hellish fucking come down and not be able to move from my bed. So, it started affecting my work. And every time I kind of came back from a bender, what the fuck? Sorry. Why has this light gone off? What the fuck? I do not know what's going on with this. Sorry.
Oh, no, it's okay.
This is so annoying.
So this is actually a common theme on this show for people who I don't know, maybe I edited it out, but this happens a lot when we start talking about goetic entities. Lights go off. It's so common at this point. It's happened five or six different times throughout this show. And honestly,
That is
it is what it is, right? I mean, this is why the goetic entities, I warn people not to get involved with them at the beginning of their practice, if they're not like really ready for that. But it's not because they're evil or anything like that. It's just because they're very present. They're very in your face. They like to make sounds, and they like to turn lights on and off. And I don't really love that a lot personally in my space.
Yeah, like even now when I do like demonic evocations, and then suddenly there's a noise, it still scares the crap out of me for a minute. Like, I'm like, oh fuck, and then I re you know obviously I realize everything's okay, but they're very present, like you said.
Yeah, they like to say hi. They
Yeah,
just do.
exactly.
Yeah, it's funny. It's hilarious, but I mean, and it is freaky. But you get accustomed to it. Like, if you're gonna have a real occult journey, you will become accustomed to paranormal activity in
Oh
your home.
yeah,
It's just that's
because that's
part
like
of
a
it.
stamina.
Yeah. Okay, where were we? What were you saying?
Yeah, so it got to the point where I was sort of coming back from like a drug binge, and I'd walk into my temple room and I'd just feel eyes on me. I just feel eyes on me, like, what are you doing? But the thing with working with demons is they very rarely are going to force you to do anything. They're very rarely going to, they really hold you accountable.
Yeah, they'd let you make mistakes.
Yeah,
They
they will.
absolutely will. In fact, they will even in my experience encourage you to make mistakes so that you learn your fucking lesson.
They will allow you to suffer until you've had enough. And, I feel like, I'd say that two of the demons that I am the closest with are Astaroth and Belial. And those two in particular really hated the fact that I was on hard drugs. They really didn't like it. And some people might be like, oh, but it's don't demons sometimes encourage indulgence and enjoying life? I wasn't indulging. I was flat out ruining my life. There's a difference between taking a knee and having a good time, and using Class A's for like days straight and it taking over your entire life. Yeah, that's very much what it became, and it took me a long while to basically have enough of this way of life, and I created a very difficult situation for myself to get out of. It wasn't just the drugs, it was also being in an abusive relationship with someone who, was also using drugs. And living together, being in each other's space all the time, and it was just a living hell. It really was. And
It was hard even on me watching you go through this, because we've been friends since before
yeah.
COVID, and watching, I'm not the type to message a good friend and say, hey, what the fuck are you doing? Like, you're fucking up your life. I was tempted to several times. I wanted to send you a message like that, but I didn't, because I respect your journey, and I think I've messaged you a few times saying, like, I'm here for you if you need to talk, right? But like, it was hard to watch you go through this. It was painful. I can't
Yeah.
imagine how painful it was for you.
Yeah, it was difficult for a lot of people to witness, because at the time I don't think I really realized until like how bad it was until I looked back in hindsight. My health really suffered. I started to have really terrible chest pains that would start going down my arm, which is like a really dangerous sign that you can go into a cardiac arrest. I started to become tolerant to the drugs I was taking and that they weren't actually getting me high anymore. I started to have symptoms of alcohol withdrawal, where you literally need alcohol to function because your body becomes dependent, and like when you don't have it, you're shaking, you're sweating. It's a miserable fucking existence. The only reason I didn't go to rehab was because of my partner at the time. It wasn't possible for me to do that. So I actually got clean while I was still with him. I got clean on my birthday. The night before my birthday, I had my final kind of drug binge, and it wasn't my biggest binge. It wasn't the worst experience that I've had on drugs, but it was a Ten of Swords moment. It was like, fuck me, am I done? And yeah, I remember waking up in the morning and my mum gave me a present and my fucking nose started bleeding. And she just looked at me like, fuck. But I ended up staying in this relationship with this person for a couple more months. But as I got clean and my head got to a more stable place and the drugs left my system, and I got some fucking sanity back, I was like, what have I done to my life? What have I actually done to it? Because this, it's a mess. And I ended up leaving this relationship in the end. Biggest act of self-love that I think I've ever done. But the thing is, the reason I'm linking this back to the left-hand path and occultism is that my demons couldn't do this for me. And I couldn't, they made me take responsibility. They could have let me, they let me suffer until I gave up myself and I surrendered myself, because they weren't gonna just, you know, make this easy for me. And I remember meditating with Astaroth at one point and saying to her, like, why did you let me do this to myself? Like, why didn't you just like pull me out of it and rescue me? Because she was like, you wouldn't have heard me. You wouldn't have heard anything I had to say to you. If I told you the truth, like, I can only deliver the truth if you're willing to hear it. And I genuinely believe that when it comes to messages from the divine, we have to be in a position to hear it, otherwise it won't come through. So, and now the way in which it changed my stance on indulgence and abstinence. Sorry, one second. People making fucking noise in my house. It made me think a lot about, you know, my stance on indulgence and abstinence. And I still indulge in pleasures. I still consider myself very hedonistic. But I don't have the privilege anymore of doing that with substances. I lost that privilege because I don't believe that drugs are inherently bad. I believe that it depends a lot about how you use them. I think, you know, there are drugs that are being used for, you know, good. And I know that people use psychedelics in particular to have, you know, divine experiences. And you know what? Fucking good for you. I wish I could do that shit, but I can't. It's just, this is the whole thing. Like, if we go back to like autonomy and like, you know, how individualistic we all are. And it's just a case of like, some of us can take drugs and be fine, and some of us can't. But the left-hand path has really made me take some fucking responsibility for this stuff and stop being a victim to it as well, because it's like, oh my God, poor me. Like, I grew up in addiction. I was in an abusive relationship. No wonder I'm using. No wonder I'm an addict. And it's like, okay, maybe you are not responsible for why you're an addict, but you are responsible for getting yourself out of this situation.
Yep. And you know what? So now, when we're talking about the left and right hand paths, one way to talk about that, and there are many, but one way to talk about that is in the Kabbalistic sense. And the left hand path of the Tree of Life is the pillar of severity, and the right path is the pillar of mercy. Now, let's analyze those words, because what you went through was quite severe. But would mercy have helped you?
I don't think
so. And this is, again, like, now if you're out there thinking, wow, Sanre, you're a terrible friend, you didn't say anything while this was going on, I'll tell you why. Because number one, I think it would have ended our friendship. If I had said, Dyra, like, what the fuck are you doing? What's going on with you? You know, you got to stop this. I think that when someone is making those choices, they don't want to hear that from their friends. And the most likely result is that it'll end the friendship, right? But also the left-hand path, the path of severity, is the path of individuation, right? And this is another way in which we can talk about the left-hand path and the right-hand path. The left-hand path is very individualistic, and the right-hand path is very community-oriented, collectiveness, okay? But what you went through was the hero's journey, the descent into hell and into darkness, we should say, the descent into madness, the descent into suffering, and then clawing your way out of it of your own volition and becoming a better, stronger, more individuated person because of it. And that's exactly what you did and what you went through. And I'm extremely proud of you, by the way. I know you've been sober for close to 2 years now. Right?
We're going to do 13 months, but
13 months. Okay. Hey, Pat, you passed the 1 year mark and it's fantastic. Right. And I think it's amazing. And that 1 year mark is incredibly important. You know, and I can't say the same. This is where I'm a little bit like, I'm not sure how to describe how I feel about this because, I went through a brief period of, you know, all near addiction, I would say, in my mid-20s, which is a long time ago now. But at the end of it, what I discovered was that I was self-medicating. And and since then, I got on to the correct medication for me. As a very, very, very ADHD person, I take Adderall, like a lot of people do, but I don't abuse it. I take it exactly as prescribed and have for the last 15 years. And this is another issue that I want to address within some of the spiritual communities and their fucking nonsense of all pharmaceuticals are bad. Because without my pharmaceutical that I take every single day, and I know because I took a 3-year break from it. And during that 3-year break, my life completely fell apart in every imaginable way. I am not functional without my medication. And so could you say I'm addicted to it? I mean, you could make that argument. That's one way to say, right? But I get up in the morning, I take my medication, I go to work, and I'm a very highly functional, organized, successful person now because of it, right? But they're different things. And like you were saying, you know, I do, once or twice to up to 4 times a year, take mushrooms and have a spiritual experience in which I talk to, to me, mushrooms are a potion because I make the tea. That is an actual magical potion, an example of a real magical potion that is a portal to the astral, right? Mm-hmm. But you have to be careful with these things. You have to. You absolutely have to. I'm afraid to do it because I don't want to get myself addicted. It's something I have to really work up to and say, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this because I want to gain some knowledge, right? But, you know, for me, it's walking a rather dangerous line that I always have to moderate very carefully. And another thing that I want to say, you know, you were just mentioning, you're saying you don't know if it's in your nature or if it's environmental or what. Well, as the two most Scorpio people that I know, right, you and I, and your chart is like almost all Scorpio. It's crazy. It's like boom, 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 all Scorpio in eighth house. Well, that is Scorpio rules sex, death, and the occult, right? Mm-hmm. And something that Scorpios love to do is to get close to death because it feels like home. And that's something that we need to address, right? But you took yourself very close to death. You snuggled right up to it, you know, and I'm glad that you're still here, but this is a Scorpio trait.
Yeah.
Either to want to be close to death or to inadvertently be close to death. Like I can't tell you how many dead friends I have. And it's not for a vast array of reasons. It's just part of, you know, the algorithm of Scorpio.
Yeah, no, I feel that. I feel like I'm also not just death in a literal sense, but like in a metaphorical sense as well. Like I must have died like 1,000 fucking times. Like, and you know, this kind of addiction, where this journey of addiction has taken me, like there was a lot of death. In, you know, inside of me, a massive part of me died from doing that. But, you know, I've slowly been getting back everything that I feel like was lost within myself. And it's also just about, because I have a really hard time sometimes I've always avoided responsibility. I've always avoided my feelings and taken responsibility for my feelings. And, you know, drugs were a great way to escape that. And, but, you know, I've kind of created this isolated sort of prison for myself by doing that because I'm not living a full human experience. And something that the sort of divine messages I've been getting from my gods recently is, the sanctity and the beauty of being human, the whole spectrum of human emotion that we can feel, you know, from being able to love to being able to grieve and then heal and then repeat that whole cycle again. And, you know, I was numbing all of that out. I didn't want any of it because it was terrifying. But I've been through that cycle since being clean. And yeah, sometimes it's been hell. And sometimes it's been absolute fucking bliss. And there's beauty in all of it. There's beauty in the absolute, like, disgusting mess of grieving, and just as there is beauty in when everything feels amazing.
Yeah, totally, absolutely. And it's, you know, bouncing back and forth between those extremes that is also very attractive to Scorpio. But, you know, the highest expression of Scorpio is the Phoenix, right? And that's what we're here to do. That's part of the Scorpio archetype, is to you know, come close to death, to like obliteration, and to rise from the ashes. And that's completely what you've done. You know, look at you now. Like, you're doing so well, and it's so good. And I'm so glad you're still here. And that you're, you know, that we're still friends, and that you're gonna be part of the school. Like, this is all so amazing, right? And that experience, as awful as it was, has made you smarter and better and more capable, probably a much more skilled occultist as well, right? Getting close to that door. There's lessons to be learned there that you can't learn any other way. You know, you just gotta look at the bright side of it, because what else can we do?
Yeah, definitely. And I feel like working with Belial in particular as well is really because Belial is about breaking down these sort of prisons that we create for ourselves. And, you know, for me, like, addiction is very much like being in chains. And I feel very much like I'm doing things against my own will, essentially. So
that's the devil card.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the imagery of the devil card, where you've got the two people below and they're in chains, like, that's exactly that.
Exactly. And not just in the sense of the drug use, but the relationship you were in, you know, and the toxicity of all of it, right? That's exactly what the devil card is, right? And that's another thing that we can address in the class, right? Is how to interpret the tarot, because the devil card is not a representation of Lucifer or Luciferianism. It is the devil, applicable to any religious path or whatever. It's the negative, the bad. It's not a depiction of any particular deity.
Yeah, and working with Belial has very much been about flipping that devil card and breaking out of those chains, chains that are self-imposed, that I've created for myself. And, you know, that's an ongoing journey. You know, drugs are just the first thing. I'm still in fucking chains in a lot of things, but, you know, at least it's not ruining my life and killing me right now. So.
For sure. And some of it is, I mean, like, listen, I'm human. Okay. I'm a human being, and there are things that I love, and there are things that I'm addicted to. Like, that's pharmaceuticals aside, I'm addicted to food. Okay. This is my struggle, is food and drink in particular. And I know, because I have diverticulitis, for which I've been hospitalized 3 times. And you know what? 2 of those times, because I ate at Wendy's. I have to stop. I can't do it, right? And the last time, a really good friend of mine, somebody who I appreciate greatly, Aileen, who's one of my clients, you know, she spent an entire day performing a distance healing on me. And if it hadn't been for that, like, I don't know how I would have survived that. I would have survived. Don't get me wrong. I wasn't in danger, but it hurt so bad. Mm-hmm. You know, and this is how you have to learn your lessons, through that path of severity. You know, I have to get my diet under control. I have to stop drinking Diet Coke and stop eating cheeseburgers, because it fucking hurts when I do, but I still want to do it. And I know that, and I don't have it under control. I'm getting there, but it's a lifelong slow process, right? And it's hard. But yeah, it's addiction comes in many different forms, right? And it's, that's what that devil card is. It's that negative. It's the bad. It's the thing that keeps you in chains.
Definitely. And yeah, like it's funny because people are like, oh, do you I remember at like the start when I sort of restarted my sobriety again, and I was like, when I was sort of saying to myself, right, guys, I'm not drinking anymore. They'd be like, do you think you'll ever drink again? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I can say that, oh, I am never drink, because like I don't want to drink again. I don't want to take drugs again. But I know with me, and I do feel like this relates to the left-hand path as well, is that life throws me 180s. Do you know, about every 6 months, something really drastic happens in my life and it fucking knocks me sideways. It's like it comes out of nowhere. It's like a curveball. I just feel like I've been like hit by a train. And when I kind of had this massive relapse in my addiction, that was one of those times. And I don't know if that curveball is going to come back. I know that right now, today, like for the rest of this 24-hour period, that I don't plan on picking anything up. I don't plan on taking a mind-altering substance, or abusing. I am also on pharmaceutical medication, which I do not abuse. I'm not planning on abusing anything. But I can't speak for myself in a month, a year, 10 years. I don't know. All I know is that right now, that's not for me.
And you have to maintain that if you intend to maintain your sobriety, right? Like if I intend to improve my health, like it's a day-to-day process. It's not like, oh, I've got this under control, I'm not going to worry about it anymore, because that right in that moment is when you fail and you slip up, because you're like, oh, I'll be fine. Fine if I do it once, and then you're fucked. Yeah. And it is just that day-to-day. What am I going to do today? And what choices am I going to make today? Right. And not putting those choices on anything or anyone but yourself. Right. And that is the left-hand path, the path of severity. It is the path of personal responsibility. And for me, I there's so much garbage nonsense associated with the left-hand path, like the Balenciaga shit, that sometimes I don't want to, use those terms, because I'm just so sick of how many people are associated with it. But I feel like, you know what? No, fuck no. We need to explain what this really is. We need to talk to people about it and not give in to that. And I do consider myself to be more like middle gray path than anything, because I'm very like I decided recently, in fact, this is gonna be a blog post I put up, that I'm kind of sick of the left-hand path, right-hand path dichotomy, and instead I like the Dungeons and Dragons alignment chart, and I've decided that I am chaotic neutral, right? But I do feel that the left-hand, right-hand path dichotomy is important to understanding occultism. And just like you said earlier, if it's between communism and capitalism, I choose capitalism. Well, if it's right-hand path or left-hand path for me, I choose the left-hand path. I choose the path of personal responsibility.
All the way.
Because I mean, to me, there's no other way. I don't think that people deserve mercy in the sense that I'm talking about it. Like, I think they deserve compassion, respect, dignity, opportunity, and help when they need it. Absolutely. But sometimes you need to learn things the hard way, because that is what's best for you. And that's how you learn the most and grow the most. I think that one of the reasons that you and I have a considerable amount of magical ability and power is the shit we've been through.
Yeah, definitely. That whole tower moment and having to rebuild it's real growth, and it's real like character building and spiritually building as well.
Totally. All right. Well, that's what we've got time for today, Daira. Thank you so much for being on the show again. I always love talking to you in person, even though we talk a lot through text. It's always great to get to sit and chat with you. So thank you so much for being here. And thank you so much for being a part of the Mystery School. I am so excited about that. If you're listening and you want more information, there will be a link in the description, as well as a link to the video that you made today. Hopefully we post these around the same time. So I'll include that if I can. And links to Daira's website and socials. So thank you all so much for listening. Daira, thank you for being here. And yeah, I'll see you next time.
Awesome.
Bye, everybody.